I want to explore with you this insight about what is unconsciousness. You see, unconsciousness is something that you will never come to see. That's why it's called unconsciousness. You will not come to be in contact with it. But your life, which is beyond control, that happens in your reality, can be used as a gauge for your unconsciousness. If anything that happens beyond your willing, if you are in an environment you don't want to be in, could be used as a window to detect your unconsciousness. Let's say you keep getting into bad relationships. It's an indication, which is not what you want, but it is happening, which means your reality can be a beautiful door to explore your unconsciousness. Like if you have worked with people, you know, miraculously, if the person is whatever is going on, things will go wrong. Have you watched? You have been bosses. It's just new ways of messing things up. I have employed many people like that. I have great experience. They have PhDs. They can mess it one way and a 1 million way and they invent something new. And if you ask him, he will tell you consciously, I didn't want that to happen because he can get fired. But it's happening. Like when somebody loses their temper, say, I don't want to lose. But they get angry anyway. Or they get sad. So we know there are things that is moving within us that is beyond our awareness, beyond our willingness. And this has to be entered into. If we do not enter this, many parts of our life remains beyond control, or beyond self-mastery, or beyond conscious participation. Like many death has been attributed, many diseases has been attributed to unconscious movement. So everything in my life that is beyond my willingness can be attributed to my unconscious operating, isn't it? We are just attributing. We are using a parameters to look into it, to have an eye over it. Sometimes somebody says, I love you, and then they turn around and hurt you. Consciously, he may love you. Unconsciously, God knows what's going on inside. I've worked with a lot of people who have been seeking success. Consciously, they will want success, but unconsciously, something else. Thus, we live in perpetual conflict. What I want and what I'm experiencing is two different things. And the more I live in conflict, the more my want becomes stronger. And then the want turns into desire. Desire turns into deep longing. Can you see? That longing creates suffering because you're not experiencing it. Like somebody who wants deep and meaningful relationship that is conscious, but don't know what is his unconscious. If you are not experiencing what you are choosing to experience, then there is an unconscious play. Like I'll quote James Bond in this. He said, if something happens once, it's accident. Twice, coincidence. Three times, enemy action. Have you heard that? Something like that. So in your life, you see patterns that repeat. Patterns that repeat, patterns that repeat, patterns that repeat. It is maybe the symbolical of the earth, you know. We always have half part of the earth lighted and half part not. Maybe that's how we are. Half part we are conscious, half part we are not. Maybe that is why some half part of our life we have control, half part we don't have control. But the part we don't have control is the greatest tool for us to enter and investigate what's going on. More than being sad and miserable and upset about it is to figure out how is it showing me what is in the deepest of my unconsciousness. For that, one must have a glimpse within himself that he is a creator. Whether consciously or unconsciously. Thus, we go into this question. We start the inquiry by trying to feel within us, what am I trying to prove? Not consciously, you know, unconsciously. I think one of the biggest sectors of our unconsciousness is there are things we are trying to prove. It may be we are trying to prove love does not exist. Maybe we are trying to prove people are not good. Maybe we are trying to prove life is not easy. So it appears unconsciousness can be all that we want to prove that we are not allowed to acknowledge we are trying to prove. You follow? In my observation over the years, I've seen everybody is proving something. Mostly unconscious. People prove to each other they cannot be loved. People prove it, you know. I once was teaching a huge number of people on personal success and productivity and creativity, and I'm telling you, by the end, they prove to me they can never succeed. They were bent on it. Literally, I can hear them telling me, Master, you do whatever you want. We going to remain the biggest loser there is on earth. And that is our success. So I have to, from that point onwards, go forth with people and make agreement. Do you agree to do this? Will you participate in this? Because the unconscious is too strong. It infiltrates our dream. So our entire sleep time, it's its domain. It is everything that is beyond our sight and awareness. And we have so much which is beyond our sight and awareness. Thus, if we really want to do something for ourselves, we must find ways and means to penetrate this. And the best gauge for me is reality. Because you know what? In reality, there is no conscious and unconscious. It is as it is. Whatever the sum total of you exists as your reality. So your reality would reflect. And one of the things that we can really use to enter this is, what am I trying to prove? You see it when you push people. Try pushing people. Have an encounter moment, you push them to the brink when they explode and things start coming out. Most of the time it's unconscious. Or if they are a little bit intoxicated, would help too. The unconscious becomes loose and it starts spilling. And then you can see people say, who the hell you think you are? I've seen married couples argue, who the hell you think you are? And to me, the response the man can make is, I'm the one who will think I love you. And she goes, who the hell? That means her unconscious, if I read that unconscious, saying, nobody is greater. Nobody is. Somehow that word is happening. Only thing, sometime the word comes out loud, sometime it whispers, but its intent is the same. So the first journey of mastery is try to penetrate this within you, your own unconsciousness to a large extent. To watch things to reveal what is going on, that which you cannot see. Which is holding you hostage. It's like I ask people, no? If you tell somebody, hey, you know somebody died and he was 50 years old, they go, oh my God, that's young. Then you tell them, somebody else, 65. Oh, that's too bad. 75. Yeah, not bad. Okay. 80. Time to go. 95. Why the hell is he hanging around? 105. Give him a medal. Because he broke. You see, that is your own judgment over you. Do you think you would change any different when you reach that age? Live it judging another. Like if somebody comes and tell you, I won $5 million in the lottery. Oh, our reaction. Wow, you are so lucky. We are that distance unlucky. If I go to a lake and I cast my fly rod and I catch a trout, a guy comes, what do you caught? One trout. Ah, only one? You know, by the reaction, he knows there's more trout. Why you only caught one trout? Suddenly you go to a lake, you catch one trout, and everybody comes and looks at you and says, how did you do that? It's amazing. One trout? How did you get that? Then you know what is in operation, isn't it? By language we can detect. If the language is the tree, by the language you can detect the roots too. So you first start exploring your unconsciousness, and how you explore it is by contemplating, what are we trying to prove with each other, with the world? Thus, we do not see the world as how it is. We see the world based on our protests. Try. We see the world based on our protests. My feeling is, somewhere in our developmental years, there were things we were not allowed to see, express, or acknowledge. Becomes a very repressed anger within us, which we live out for the rest of our life as our protest. Think on it. Think on it. If you bring that mind into that inquiry, if you start looking at it that way, this is just a way of looking at it, many things about you can be discovered, isn't it? This ability of self-discovery in the East was known as meditation. Which is not the conventional understanding of meditation. This is what real meditation is. There was a saint, I consider him a saint, a master. His name was Ramana Maharishi. He used to say Atma Vicharam. Atma Vicharam means a dialogue with your own soul. I think it is also means a dialogue with your own unconscious. To me, the word enlightenment means bringing light into this. I've had a great good fortune and misfortune of being with people for a long time to getting to know them. It's both, you know, it's a great, wonderful thing. I'm sure it's the most biggest pain in the world. To know people to the depth, that means to see them day in, day out, look into their unconsciousness, look into them, look into their being, look into what is going on, keep catching every movement they do. And many times when I watch it, you know what I see? They are nothing but the unconscious. Their reality, their result is nothing but the unconscious. You know what is their conscious? That which they want to be and they cannot. What is the experience of that? Deep suffering. It's almost like this. You know, you tell a child, have your dinner and go to bed immediately. The child says, no, I got some TV show to watch. You say, no. Have your dinner and go to bed. Have you seen the child will stomp its feet? The plates will fly? Because it cannot fight you. You're too big. You are the boss in the house. But it's protesting. Have you seen that protest? I have a feeling that protest goes into the unconscious, and from that day people live the protest out. My feeling, drug abuse, almost every behavior that is destructive is nothing but a protest. Which, as we become adult, become what we are trying to prove. It's like this. If you ever meet somebody, when you look into the eyes for the first time, watch this. Immediately try and see, what am I trying to prove to the other? And then look at the other and see, what is he trying to prove? So two proving mechanisms coming together. Which sometime may fall in love and prove they cannot be together and get divorced. And give up half. In the East, there is a ceremony. I must tell you something in the East. In the East, when you get married and all that, the woman will touch the man's feet. People think, she's humbling herself. This is so demeaning. No, no, no. She's bowing down to the unconscious. Please. She married the conscious. She's bowing. Please don't. Have you seen, you cannot disagree with somebody without paying for it. Have you seen that? Really meditate on this. Can you disagree with somebody without paying for it? Somewhere you're going to pay for it, one way or the other. It takes great maturity to disagree and say, yes, you are right. I was wrong. Thank you. And move on from there with deeper love. It's like Mullah Nasruddin. Somebody came up to Mullah Nasruddin and said, Mullah, you are always right. Have you ever been wrong? He said, yes, once. Once. And that one time, I thought I was wrong when actually I was not. I have not been able to persuade anybody to do anything exactly what they want to do based on their conscious and unconscious. That's why in the East we put our hand, please. 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 This is not a communication to the conscious. It's to the unconscious, please. Because the unconscious is like a rage, you know. I have seen people who love each other intend destruction for each other. The most freakiest thing I've seen. Outside, I love you, honey, and all that, and kissing and hugging, but I can see the unconscious roving. And they would inevitably break each other. Now, the discipline is to have a tool, a ability to penetrate this by observing everything around you. If you chose somebody that came to hurt you, you must see, what is in my unconsciousness? Am I trying to punish me? That's why they said, if the daughter does not like the dad, he will bring her home that will give the dad a heart attack. She'll go pick a guy that she knows will not be approved. She likes the dad. It's very much chances you will marry somebody similar. This is psychology. They are beginning to see it, the pattern. And it is rather alarming. I like what Krishnamurti said once. He said, man do not think, he is conditioned to think. You know how big a statement that is. My thoughts are not mine, is what has been programmed into me. It's like your computer. No? Sometimes when you on it, you will say, welcome. Their computers can be programmed to say, welcome. And you think, wow, look at that. It's talking to me. If you're having a relationship. No, it's a machine. If it sees another machine, I've caught my machine trying to be unfaithful to the next machine via Bluetooth. I have seen my computer without my permission formed a relationship with another computer, and they are talking to each other right under my nose. This is cheating me, man. I would like you all to breathe into this. Maybe today we can go into this. I know it's a very difficult, painful subject. You know why the 92-93% will never, they don't have the stomach to see this. It shakes you to your bone. Because we defend, we have two things, you know. What we protest, what we try to prove, and what we try to defend. Our defending is conscious, our proving is unconscious. I want to defend I'm a good man. But deep down, I may want to prove many things. Like I have seen men who have been unfaithful. The only unconscious rationale I could detect was, in general, they want to exert their free. Somewhere deep in their unconscious, they don't want to be owned. Maybe their mother carried him too much. He wanted to go down, the mother held him. He feels suffocated. Like if it's for women I've watched in general, she's trying to prove she is wanted, loved too. I know it's more complex than that, but I'm just giving you a general gauge to watch it. So, if I live this life trying to prove, unconsciously, I do not live my life. I live out my repression. Does it explain why so much misery happened? To me, nothing beyond you allowing can happen. That's my stand. That nothing beyond me must happen. To me, that is the goal of mastery, whether it can be achieved secondary, but that's the direction it goes. That nothing moves within me without me allowing it. Only then when I say I love you, it has some merit. If not, my love can just be my defense against my trying to prove I'll never love. Does the exploration into mastery first begin by me exploring deeply? What could I have been proving? Like I tell you a story, hope it relates with this moment. I have a student who had a brother who had a bit of an alcohol problem. He lost his wife. He had an affair with some nurse and lost his wife. And this guy is in the medical profession, so he knows everything about medical, but started drinking. 3 years of utter dedication drinking, his liver went bust. So he was in the hospital dying. So the doctor say he's not stable, he's not this, he's not that. So they came to see me and said, Master, can you help? I said, let me see what I can do. So I went to the hospital. He was lying with every tube coming out of every part of his body. Never seen a man with that many tubes. So I kind of woke him up a bit and he has great respect for me. He said, hey, Master. And I said, listen, I'm here. They asked me to come. Your family is outside. You and I here alone. I said, if you want to die, let me know. I'll meditate with you. You die peacefully. If you want to live, live. I said, don't answer. Take 5 minutes and tell me what you want. If you want to live, I'll help. If you want to die, I'll help. Go for it. And I said, ask it. But be conscious of it. He thought about it. Tears flew. He opened his eyes. I said, I want to live. Then I said, stop pretending. Look into his eyes and I said, stop pretending. Get out of this hospital. In 3 days, everything stabilized. Health snapped back. Everybody said, miraculous healing. I didn't heal nothing. I just communicated to his unconsciousness. I said, come on, get out. And he was out and he's fine till today. What was it? His unconscious guilt was trying to destroy him. Somewhere he has decided, I want to die. Haven't you seen certain time when something happens, you feel like, I want to die. You see, that is what you can hear in your brain. Can you imagine if it goes to your unconsciousness? I don't think men have to become old at 60 or 70. I think it's somewhere collectively, unconsciously, we agreed. Because it takes you near about 40 to know how to really walk straight. At 20, powerful hormones I'd play. So you are something else. At 30, you may see 10 feet in front of you. By 40, you have some kind of vision. At 50, you're much more settled, halfway through. If 50 is middle age, 100 must be end, isn't it? I think aging is part of our own collective agreement. We don't have to age. We don't have to. But we have agreed unconsciously, and we do not reject that agreement. And we live it out. I'm asking you to meditate on this. What do you think we are unconsciously trying to prove? There are times you love somebody, they try to prove to you they cannot be loved, even though one part they want to be loved. Think on it. The study of mastery begins with these inquiries. Like once you have done discipline one, you have the first basic tools. You have the art to detect. That's why I say the way it's done is beautiful. It gives you a tool to quickly catch your unconscious. It is almost detecting the fish under the water, underwater, by looking at the ripples above. You might not be able to see the fish, but with the ripple you can follow. Like if you're a hunter in the jungle, every twig that breaks, you kind of, you're alert, you know. It gives you an indication there's an animal around. So you have the tool. And with every time you follow one and free yourself, there is a liberation. There is more light into your own mystery. Why this is important? Only when this is stabilized can you progressively work towards self-realization. Can you imagine one part somebody wants to realize, another part is something else? That's possible, isn't it? You can actually make a promise to another. You can actually give your word. You can actually have a relationship. You can actually meet. You can actually do something. Now, if we take a shortcut into this, we ask ourselves, what am I trying to prove? That question kind of seduces you to look at it, isn't it? It seduces you. When I went through this process, Jackie, every time I hit a note, I was freed. Every time I hit a note, I was freed. And every time I was freed, it never happened again. Every time I hit it, I'm freed. From that day, I had mastery over it. I had mastery over it. I had more mastery over it. I had more mastery over it. More mastery over it. The point is not to have complete mastery, but to have enough mastery that you do not sabotage yourself. Before we start for the evening, I would like us to go into that a little bit. Just pay attention to that. What am I trying to prove? And what am I trying to defend?